You got it into WOPOP, KEXP 90.3 FM, live on the web at KEXP.org. And I am Derek Mazzoni, your DJ and host. Thanks so much for tuning in. And it is with great pleasure to introduce the full band, the Nile Project, here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You guys, you guys played a wonderful show at Meany Hall, and it is an honor and a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Would love to hear a song if you have it in you. Project live on WOPOP on KXP. You guys look like you're having fun.
We're having a blast.
Which is absolutely beautiful. So the Nile Project is more than a band. It's a concept. It's a message. It's, what is it?
The Nile Project is a group of musicians. It's an idea. It's a collective. It's the idea that in East Africa, even though we're neighbors, even though the Nile River connects 11 countries, we actually don't know each other that well. Mm-hmm. And so the project and the collective puts cultures next to each other, composers from 7 countries are represented in this particular iteration of the collective. We create music together, and we're modeling the kind of relationship that we'd like to see in East Africa,
okay,
which is one of connection and conversation.
And the record is Aswan, came out last year, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and now you guys have had residencies. And in a sense, looking at your tour schedule and what you've been, this is a dream come true. You guys, you know, it's not like a band where you just show up 2 hours before the, you know, you're exhausted, you do a sound check, you eat some horrible food, and then you're on, and then you're going the next day. You're actually spending some time getting to know the communities, sharing this knowledge, educating students, being part of a broader dialogue. How does that feel?
I mean, I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's a dream come true. I think that for a lot of the musicians in the collective, and I'll let folks speak for themselves, but, you know, we feel that music is powerful and that mm-hmm. it has a capacity to ripple outwards in ever-expanding concentric circles of connection and ideas. And so it's been a pleasure on this tour working with university students, and we work with university students in East Africa as well, because they're really in a place in their lives where they're not just learning about the world, but they're eager to think about the ways that those ideas make real impact and how they can have an impact in the world around them.
So the thing that I found intriguing about this project is that often you'll have musicians such as yourself come to the West and perform, and you're up on stage and there's this kind of like, oh, wow. And then you go back home and we don't know anything about that. But your residencies have been actually in Egypt, have been in and out. So you're actually performing and speaking to this, to the populations there. And how was that being received? How was that, how are you getting this out and what's going on?
So we've done 3 residencies so far. The first was in Aswan, Egypt in January of 2013. And the second was in Kampala, Uganda, which was January and February of 2014. And mm-hmm. the third was just recently November of 2014 in Minya, Egypt. And the idea is that on the residencies, we're really engaged in the creative process. So all the music that you hear as part of the Nile Project is composed, arranged, expanded upon in the actual 2 to 3 week residencies itself. So it's a really, really concentrated process. And it's a process where there's no leader. Rather, everyone is a leader, everyone mm-hmm. is a teacher, and everyone is a student. And the way that we listen to each other, the way that we engage in improvisation, in starting in small groups in 2s and 3s and expanding out there, bringing in 4 to 5 musicians, and then to the whole collective for the full arrangement process, and all under the incredible direction of our dear Miles J, who's our musical director. And
awesome.
and we play in and we play in the residencies as well. We play for the communities around. I think, you know, when Mina and I started this project, we wondered, you know, what are people going to think? And because there's a kind of element of both familiarity and unfamiliarity, right? So if you're playing in Egypt, you know, we obviously have incredible representation from Egyptian musicians. So mm-hmm. an audience there might grab onto aspects. Perhaps the song is in Arabic, or the scales, the maqam, are represented. But then there's a Ugandan rhythm somewhere in there, or there are elements that come from the other Nile cultures that change the song, that influence it, that make it a uniquely Nile sound. And so then there's that element of unfamiliarity, like, well, I understand part of it, but there's another part of it that is unfamiliar. And that's what we hoped would create curiosity. And actually, the album Aswan was our very first ever concert. And what we discovered there was that...
That's quite a bit of chutzpah.
Can you believe it?
It's perfect. It's ready. Let's just go.
Or rather, we're a work in progress.
Okay.
And we're interested in the idea of learning, and we can capture a moment, and that was a very, very special moment, and the audience wouldn't let us go. They just wanted to ask us questions like, who are you and where did you mm-hmm. come from and what is that instrument? And that kind of curiosity, that mix of the unfamiliar and the familiar that leads to a kind of open door is what we found when we play for audiences.
Perfect. There's a million questions and I want to get into them, but one quick one. Harbible, what does that mean?
Gerrible. It means come closer to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. We will. We'd love to hear some more music, please, and find out more if we can. The Now Project, live on WOPOP, KXP. Where the music matters.
Oh.
Whew. The Nile Project on Wopop and KEXP live in the studio. That was amazing. Thank you. So give me the history. Anybody could talk. It's okay. Whoever wants to speak to it. Like, how did this come about? Like, everybody's a great musician. I read everybody's biography. So one, it's got to be something pretty phenomenal to have to convince all these musicians who have lives and other things going on to come together. And here's the man, the grand convincer.
What's going on?
I just want to know how this came. Like, well, how did this come from idea to actual execution? Oh. Mina, you could speak to that microphone.
So I think it was a combination of events. It was it was a time when both Maclita and I were coming back from our respective countries, Ethiopia and Egypt, mm-hmm. and
how'd you
to
guys
the
meet?
Bay Area. We met in the Mission District, where Maclita was the co-director of the Red Poppy Art House, small art house in the Mission, and I had started a world music school there.
Okay.
So we had met 7 years earlier, and we were friends. We were in the same community. We were doing work that was very similar, both presenting a lot of world music in the Red Poppy Art House, and I was working mainly in cross-cultural music education,
okay.
and providing space for people to learn any musical traditions they were interested in. So it was you know, we were both coming back. That was right after the revolution in Egypt. I mm-hmm. was thinking, you know, I want to do something that has to do with what's happening in Egypt, but I'm an applied ethnomusicologist, and there's a revolution. Like, how does that connect? I went to an Ethiopian concert, ran into Maclita there in Oakland, and that's where kind of like the aha moment.
That was the Debo
came.
Band, right?
That was Debo Band, yeah.
And here, awesome. So and, Danny. Okay, perfect.
And, yeah, that's
so. But to go from, how do you feel? I mean, this was like at a show. Let's do something like here, and you've got it here. You've got a full production schedule. You got a record out. That must be pretty. I mean, one, I would feel awesome, but also, wow, how do you keep this energy flowing and moving?
I think it was a combination. You know, it was meeting all the incredible musicians that we're working with that mm-hmm. keeps inspiring us, going to the Nile Basin and doing a lot of the work there and seeing how it resonates so deeply with a lot of people. I think, you know, this project wouldn't have come up if we were living in the Nile. It's so big there mm-hmm. that you don't get the perspective that you get if you live in the Bay Area and look at it from on a map and see how all of this fits together. But when you go back there and you propose to people to work on something like this, you see that it actually hits really deep with a lot of people, because it kind of the Nile is an interesting river, because it really speaks to the identity of a lot of the people that live there. But it's really hard to express your relationship with a river that kind of you know, like Seattle. Like, think how do people express their relationship with a Puget Sound? It's not.
They
easy.
Go hiking. They drink coffee when it rains.
Exactly.
They throw salmon at each other. You know, the regular things.
So it's kind of crystallized a lot of what a lot of people were feeling at the right point in
okay.
time.
Okay. So the Arab Spring, what was going on in Egypt, and then the energy of that. But at the same time, Maclita was saying that there's a millennial history of various peoples on the Nile, but there isn't much communication between them. So is it because if you're in Egypt and you wanted to bring in musicians from Rwanda or Burundi, people would just look at you like, why or how would that work?
Well,
did you need to be out to get a sense of perspective of it?
Like, I think you need to be out to draw that map, to draw the line around the Nile Basin.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in, you think of Egypt as North Africa or the Arab world. You think of Ethiopia as, you know,
East Africa.
Dead in the center of East Africa. And then you have all of Lake Victoria in sub-Saharan Africa. So you don't really think of these connections as much. And once you get out, you start seeing, wait, this region doesn't, this region makes a lot more sense than, you know, the lines that we've put artificially on the map of Africa.
Yeah.
And then everybody just here's the Nile Project and making sense of that region in a vertical way, as opposed to all these horizontal lines we've put on the map. And it's just like, you know, bam, it's just like it for Maclita and I to explain the Nile Project, it takes like two sentences. You know, you talk about the Nile Project and people are like, yeah, no, totally makes sense. Why has this not been done before? So it was just like one of those.
Perfect. And it's successful. So you caught fire.
It's great.
Awesome. Can somebody please introduce the band? And then if I wanted to find out more information about the Nile Project, where would I go?
Sure. So maybe Miles, would you like to introduce the band? Our musical director?
Okay.
Sure. Well, it's quite an honor to introduce this band.
Thank you, Miles.
Since we're in a circle, where do we start? Well, let's start with the vocalist you just heard from. This is Selamnesh Zemene from Gondar in Ethiopia. Selamnesh Zemene. Next, we have the co-founder of the Nile Project, Maklit Hadero, who's a Seattle local from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
From Egypt, we have the lovely vocalist Dina El-Wadedi. From Sudan, from Khartoum, and from Brooklyn, we have Al Sara on vocals. Coming all the way from Rwanda, she sings and plays a very unique instrument called the Inanga. This is Sophie Nzaisenga. Next to me here, our bass man, our kembe man, our umuduri man from Burundi. This is Steven Sogu. You're about to hear a song from him coming up next. In our percussion section, from Kenya, we have Kasiva Mutua. She's playing the Kenya drum, she's playing the djembe, and she plays many small percussion instruments too. From Uganda, on percussion, on adungu, on entongoli, and dingidi, amadinda, basically, if they play it in Uganda, he plays it. This is Michael Bazibu. From Egypt, from Cairo, actually, this is Hani Badeir. He's holding the Uganda long drum right now, but actually since we all started, we swap instruments like crazy. But he's a great tabla player and rick player with us. And now, Ugandan percussionist from Egypt, Hani Badeir. On saxophone from Ethiopia, we have Jorga Mesfin. On kawula, the end-blown Egyptian flute from Port Said, the city on the edge of the Suez Canal. This is Nedr Ashar. And from Egypt, our youngest and newest addition to the band, and all of our new best buddy. This is Mohammed Abu Zikri on the oud.
Perfect. Thank you for being here. This is awesome. So if I want to find out more information about... But first off, Miles, you were on tour with Youssou N'Dour, the Egypt tour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. There's a lot of powerful energy here. And so I am really honored to have everybody here. Thank you again. If I wanted to find out more about the Nile Project, if I wanted to support it, to get it out, how would I get that on the internet?
So we have a website.
Okay.
Nileproject.org, and you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can support us through our website. We have a lot of more information about our university programs in East Africa, as well as all the plans for the Nile Project. We're putting on a new album in the next few weeks. We'll probably be launching a crowdfunding campaign, so a lot of that information is on our website.
Okay.
And you can sign up to our mailing list.
So this is your life now?
My life?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been my life for 3.5 years.
Okay. It's a good life.
But it's everybody's life for the next 4 months at least.
Keep, Nile Project live on Wopapa KXP. We'd love to hear another song if possible. Thank you.
Aragwitsa Kumandara Halina bandiyo Machurini Kogwa matkwariye Makunzi Kogwa matkwariye Mesenu tkwa Nagira nande Naba tatu Naba bki Korna ruzi Nagizengo ni Naruzi pe Nakinu wabura Dazuru zini amba, eba naru na wera ro ro dazura. Dazuru zini amba, Wahed etnin taleta Mozambiri tatu Rimge kabiri gatatu Andone so Nakomba mbaburire aya mazini mana yabaye nimuyashwanire maza mbafase mesegambe muyagwanire
nazi orozi nazuru zini ama
lewa kadu mekritararuzia nazuru zini
Project live on Wopop. I'm Derek Mazzoni, your DJ and host. Thank you so much for being here. I'm here with Mina Girgis, am I pronouncing that right, who is the co-founder of the Nile Project. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, there's the music, which is beautiful, which tells its story, but in looking at your curriculum, I guess would be the word for it, there's a lot of stuff to cover here, and how this is encompassing. You've got many different cultures, many instrumentation. How do you get the message out about water cooperation, that which I love, like musical collaboration and water collaboration throughout that, and Nile and African identity, imagining the Nile. Can you speak to that a little bit? Like, how do you weave that curriculum in through this? Because this is fun. That's not fun.
Well, we think it's fun. It's so for us, the music is really kind of, you cannot divorce it from the mm-hmm. realities that we live. I think what's really special about this collective is that every single musician here has done a lot of work in community organizing, mm-hmm. in being involved beyond their music in their society. So when we bring everyone together, we're not just thinking about our music. I mean, we are definitely thinking about our music to make music that sounds good, but we also think about all the other issues that inspire us to make the music we make and that relate to our communities and where we come from. So for us, the music is really kind of a megaphone that attracts people to this conversation, to see the Nile as one ecosystem and open that gate into a world that we haven't really looked into so much before. So once you're curious, you have a lot of questions. And once you have a lot of questions, you want someone to hold your hand and help you kind of wrap your head around the complexity of such an ecosystem that has a lot of issues. And what is your role in this ecosystem? You know, we figured out what we want to do as our Nile project, how we can contribute to the sustainability of the Nile that is primarily cultural and social and political before it is environmental. But there are lots of other people that are trying to find their entry point. Mm-hmm. And these workshops are meant to be an introduction to students to get them from the concert, from that inspiration that they have when they see this music, into all the other aspects. So go from one side of the brain to the other. Mm-hmm. So these workshops are all musically based. So we start with musical collaboration, but we talk about how our musical collaboration can relate to the way we can cooperate around water. How can we use creativity to focus on finding solutions that fit, you know, all our needs, you know. So if we have a musician coming from Egypt and a musician coming from Ethiopia that want to make a song, how can they combine their music in a way that sounds good and that serves both their needs? This is exactly the same process that happens when people are trying to figure out solutions to their water issues. So it's really kind of an entry point for anyone that would like to be more involved in Nile sustainability.
Okay. Do you think, Arab Spring is happening. And a lot of my friends from North Africa, from the Middle East, that was an incredibly powerful moment for them. Some of them went, participated. Others were just couldn't peel away from the television set. People in the West, that was exotic and amazing. But once Gaddafi's done and Tahrir's Square is empty and it gets complicated with the Muslim Brotherhood and everything, the interest went away. It's, you know, it's no longer a soap opera. But the energy of that transformation, that alchemical energy, did that play a part? And you were mentioning it before, but I'm wondering if it just played a part in everybody here, that like, whether you're in Burundi or Rwanda, your neighbors are going through a dramatic change culturally and politically. Did that play a part in putting this together and making it work?
Well, you know, the biggest issue I have with the Arab Spring is that it wasn't really Arab. It's still not Arab. I mean, I think, you know, there are more countries outside of the Arab world that are experiencing that spring from 3 years ago than Arab countries. It may have started there and people have kind of isolated it. But a lot of that same political social turmoil was happening in lots of other African countries, and it's still happening in lots of other African countries, and it's going to be happening in more African countries. So I don't think, people in the Nile Basin see this as just focused in the Arab world and is not going to go bleed everywhere. It happened here in the U.S. with Occupy. It happened in Spain. It happened, you know. So for us, I think what was happening was not just a political revolution, but a cultural revolution. And you could really feel it in Egypt that a lot of people were kind of looking into the next era of an era where we're going to rebuild our relationships with our African identity. And a lot of Egyptians resonated with the Nile Project because they found, an outlet to kind of re-explore what it means to be African. I imagine that similar, orientations are happening in other countries as well, in the Nile Basin and elsewhere. But, you know, we feel that there is a spectrum of society that feels like this speaks to them more than a lot of the old political discourses that they have grown up with. And I think that's kind of what is really important for us.
I think also this music speaks to this population in the West here, because this generation coming up right now sees this music in a different light. It's not in the academy. It's not. It's like, it's on YouTube. It's like, it's the music people are, their own generation is dancing to and having and enjoying. So it's not in that kind of like other space. It's actually here. And I think that's one of the reasons why you guys are going to be really successful.
Thank you.
Getting this out.
Thank you.
Nile Project on WOPOP on KXP. We'd love to hear one more song. Thank you.
جايز ما كانش القلا يملى القلوب والعيون جايز ما كانش الوجع عشش نوى
Project live on Wopop on KXP. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was absolutely awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Please come back again. You guys are going to be, anyway, you guys are full lineup here. You're going to be in Long Beach, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Folsom, Stanford. It's good. You're going warm and then up instead of going cold. You're not playing Edmonton or Calgary. It's like, God forbid. So please come back again. I want to thank, Scott, Justin, and Luke. I want to thank Eric Gonzalez, the amazing Tom Hall, Aaron Keating, and, of course, John Kurtzer. This is Wopop KEXP 90.3 Seattle, where the music matters.